This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Maybe we're going to hit the wall, though.
No.
I didn't believe in the wall when I ran my first marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like how I bragged there?
Yeah.
My first
sweet
marathon.
Flex.
I was like
how many marathons have you run?
Two.
Yeah,
so the first of two.
It's two more than I will ever run. So.
I was at mile 21, and I was like, this is not that hard. I have trained so well for this.
Such a brag.
I was
mile 21. This isn't that hard.
I was like going through my mind. There's been these lacrosse workouts I had to do that were harder than this. That was harder than this. And then the next mile, I was like, I want to die. My legs are falling off of my body.
Sick brag, bro.
End it now. All of a sudden, that wall is real.
It just hits out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was like the rookie wall for Mac Jones. Like, all of a sudden, you're a completely different
I think
person.
That was more of a career wall than a rookie wall, but, you
sad.
Know.
Sad.
Oh, no, not at all.
Do you want to get through some Red Sox calls before we turn back to my anxiety over the Celtics?
Yeah, let's do that. 617-779-7937 here. Let's go to Wally in Fall River's on with Mego and Chime. Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? The Red Sox are really in a pickle now. Now, Casas got hurt. He's making a lot of money, guys. He's not making $25 an hour. But as far as Rafi, he's just, you know, you got to handle him with kid gloves. It is what it is. We get another 8 more years of this. He's very unpredictable. You wonder what the atmosphere in that clubhouse is right now. He could have came to the Red Sox and said, look, I know this injury is going to hurt us, but I'm willing to go over there and you take a few ground balls, see what happens. Let's try it. But no, you know, he's just not happy here. But you do. If the Red Sox trade him, they're going to have to eat a lot of his salary. Now, I know the Cardinals would take him off his hand, but they'd have to pay him a lot. But you get Arenado, he's dabbled a little at first base. That'll solve the problem. Maybe you can make an expanded deal and get that top reliever. But I don't think he's going to stay here. I think they're going to make a move to try and trade him.
All right, Wally, thanks for the call. Mego, do you feel like he'll get traded this season, or do you think they're going to try and work this out? I feel like, personally, with John Henry flying out there, they're going to do everything they can to work this out.
I think that's a great indication. And if you listen to Sean McAdam, if you missed it, go on the Odyssey app, hit the rewind feature, and find that from last hour because it's absolutely worth listening to. He has so much great information from inside the building down there. But the extent to which they have... I know we overuse this term, but truly gaslit Rafael Devers about what his position was going to be this season. They had to have some self-awareness that they've screwed this up a couple times.
Yeah.
Now, Devers is a brat, and he's not acting right, and he's saying the wrong stuff, and his attitude sucks. But at the same time, the Red Sox are not blameless in this situation, and if it's gotten to the extent where John Henry, you got Cora and you got Breslow weaseling each other into delivering the bad news and trying to overtake one another or whatever is going on in that in that relationship, and then you are asking John Henry to, or John Henry has to take it upon himself to actually go out and meet with the player one-on-one. Yeah, I do think that indicates that there's still heavy investment trying to make it work with this player, and that there has to be some acknowledgement of, like, we really effed this up and we got to get 100%. Our house in order. So will he be traded this season? I would be surprised if he was, but less, you know, or more, I should say, more surprising things have happened.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think both things can be true in that Rafael Devers sounds like a brat and a whiny baby, and the Red Sox screwed up and had bad communication. I think both things are absolutely true. Let's go to Max in Westfield. What's up, Max?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
I just want to say, what exactly did the Red Sox lie to him about? Like, they wouldn't say he's the starting third baseman, right? Like, that's not what organization's going to tell you. And then the second thing is, Sean, the will of the many, great recommendation, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. What's the will of the many?
It's a book that I read the end of last year by James Islington. It was my favorite book I read in 2024.
What
Phenomenal
is it?
Book. A bit like, I would say, in the fantasy realm. It is the magic scale is tremendous. I think it is a fantastic world. The sequel will be coming out in November, so I'm very excited for that. But to Max's first point, and now I forget what I was going to say.
Well, I am currently reading The Demon of Unrest.
Ooh, what is
this? Which is Eric Larson. It's about Abraham Lincoln and America's road to the Civil War. And I think I am rapidly transforming into a 50-year-old man because...
Are you a big wartime book reader now?
Not usually, but the historical nonfiction recommendations that I've been getting have just been hitting right. Like this
I
one...
I can't do the historical nonfiction
thing. I didn't think I was
going
to be into it. I'm probably 100 pages into it, and I am so obsessed right now. Like, just so... It's... The stuff that these people got up to back in the day, let me tell you something. Freaks have walked among us.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
For sure.
There's this guy in there who's got relationships with his nieces. It's like a crazy book.
Is this Game of Thrones? You're reading Game of Thrones?
It's kind of like that, Shime.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
Seems
that.
Seems like it. House of Dragon? Seems very similar.
There's certainly some like very dark and serious matter in there, but then it's like, let's do a whole chapter about this freaky man from the South. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I'll be completely honest. I am like only, almost solely a fantasy reader. That's
okay.
It. I prefer, when I read a book, I like to be placed in a whole different world, completely unlike anything that we currently live in and totally
detached.
But you
liked history, correct?
Yeah, it's fine.
I thought that you liked, I thought you were a bit of a history buff.
No,
you
I
like
mean,
Shakespeare.
Like, yeah, I do. I like, I like old literature like that, but like I don't, again, it's, you know, it's fiction. It, you know, Shakespeare was a fiction writer, a sonnets writer, stuff like that, but I don't really, you know, I learned a lot of history growing up and stuff like that. Like I didn't hate history classes because it was literally just read fact, remember fact, recite fact. There was no whole really kind of, I don't know, process to it. There was no.
So my issue with reading this way is that like I love novels. I love fiction. That's usually my go-to. But probably once every 2 months, I'll mix in a historical nonfiction book that I get so into that I can't stop injecting it into everyday conversation. This happened when I read one. It was called like the greatest land under heaven, and it was about the Donner Party, and it was so good. I couldn't stop talking about it, and it was really bad casual conversation to be like, well, you know what a lot of people don't know about the Donner Party is blank. It's like when you learn something cool, so then you want to share it with everybody else. And it's not like a way of bragging, it's just that you're excited about it, so you want other people to be excited about it. And that's where I'm at right now with this Civil War book.
I have been the last like 3 weeks, I have just been completely enveloped by the Red Rising series. It's another fantasy series by Pierce Brown. There's currently 6 books out. I just finished the 5th and 6th book within the last month or so. And I've wanted to like think and talk about nothing else but those, but nobody else
reads
them. Like, yeah, nobody else I know like reads them. And I'm just like twiddling my fingers like, ah, this book is amazing. I just want to talk to it about it with
other
people.
I just call my dad, who's in his 60s, and I say,
because he lived it.
Well, no, he didn't live in the Civil War. No, but I'll talk about like, oh, you know, I'm reading this book right now. And my dad goes, what a lot of people don't know about the Donner Party. And I'm like, this is the perfect audience.
Yes, this is exactly who I needed to discuss this with. 617-779-7937. Back to the Devers conversation. Let's go to Joe in Palmer. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Hey, Mego. By the way, every time you're on the air, you elevate the station, so it's great to hear you. Good job.
Oh, thank you, Joe. That's very kind.
Hey, the Rafael Devers, nobody wants him in first base. This guy had the whole off season to get ready for a long 180 games, and he didn't come in shape. He's not going to do the work at first base. He's going to go over there and go, boot a ball. I told you I couldn't play it. He's going to have a bad attitude. He's not going to do the work. Let's find another answer for first base.
All right, Joe. Thanks for the call. I don't think that's a bad take. Like,
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Like, as annoyed as I am with the way that Rafi's talking about this publicly and his entire attitude is pretty offensive to me, he probably won't be bad at first base.
Oh, yeah. I would say more than 50-50 chance he's bad at first base.
Like, is he the best option for first base? We heard Sean McAdams say, and again, I thought this was really interesting, that concept seemed to come from baseball ops and maybe more specifically from Craig Breslow. So this is their genius idea. Don't we have all these other options of who you can put at first base before Rafi?
So I think there's a lot of other options for sure. I think like Christian Campbell has been floated out there. I even think Trevor Story is like a candidate that you can move over there, because then you immediately open up an avenue from Marcelo Meyer.
Oh, no. They're too scared to pull up Meyer.
That's exactly why Craig Breslow went to Rafael Devers first, because every other option would then insert the opportunity for Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer to make their MLB appearance, and he doesn't want to do that. So his best option right away was, oh, we should just move Devers there, and then we can use DH as a spot where guys who are dealing with nagging injuries don't have to play the field, and they can play DH, or we can slide in, you know, Romy Gonzalez or whoever we want, and we can keep Marcelo and Roman in AAA in Worcester kind of mashing away and not getting any MLB experience.
That is one thing about the way that the team has been constructed over the last several years, is the way that they treat the DH position is like, well, this is a nice place to put Masataka Yoshida for a while. Or like, this is a nice place, you know, like, just they've stocked up so much on their offensive talent and focused on the bats, which is fine. But then they turn to DH. You can understand if that is, if that's the reason that you want to move Rafi to first base to open that slot up, so somebody can basically treat it as like a rehab assignment.
Let's go to Billy in Taunton. Wants to talk about Devers. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, guys.
Billy, you there?
If Breslow and management have... Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, if Craig Breslow and management have told exclusively Devers repeatedly, like, oh, you're our third baseman, before they made the signing, and then after they convinced him to play DH, if they said you will never have to play the field again, that feels like some kind of verbal binding agreement. And I think he has a right to be really frustrated, and I think I put the blame as equal on Breslow and management. If that's the case, they've been saying this. It feels like, you know, they've been kind of like lying to him, depending on how they talked about it. And that's a big if, and that's why I have to put as much of it on Craig Breslow and management team for poor choice of wording, you know, making, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Thanks for the call, Billy. You started breaking up there at the end, but look, I largely agree and understand why Devers is so frustrated.
Yeah.
I get it. It makes all the sense in the world, especially when you consider the idea that the Red Sox may have been lying to him just, it seems like, outright multiple times now.
It's ridiculous.
But at the same time, like, he also needs to be an adult and then handle that better and not try and air out his GM to the media and say, hey, Craig, go do your job and find a first baseman.
Yes.
Like, I think both can be true.
I think most people agree with that.
Yeah.
I understand my starting point here, so I understand other people who have this perspective, is that I'm pretty over Devers.
Yeah, same.
And I don't think that the situation's going to get better. The way that McAdam called it was a detente, that there's going to be cooler heads that prevail for a little while. And then something else is going to come along that's going to rile him up again. And I don't think that his attitude is suited to lead the clubhouse. And so they had to go out and get somebody like Bregman, who can not only take over his position in the field, but also take over that position in the clubhouse. And so to be paying a guy as much as you're paying him and have him be wholly inflexible and seemingly look that you can say the organization is not treating him well. The organization is also paying him a ton of money. So they're lying to him. They're paying him a lot. It's all very messy.
Just a disaster.
Is it going to get better between these two sides?
Probably
I don't think
not.
So.
617-779-7937. It's Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, taking you up until 3 o'clock when Joe Weil and the Playtessie boys will take over and get you ready heading into Red Sox pregame at 6:10 this evening. But Mego, it's time to get back into the Boston Celtics. We'll touch on them next and see where Mego's anxiety level is currently for Game 3 against the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference semifinals. But right now, Mitch is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox fall back to 500 after a 2-1 extra innings loss in last night's series finale in KC. Hunter Dobbins got the start, going 6 shutout innings, allowing 5 hits while striking out 6. A Rafael Devers RBI groundout in the 11th was the lone source for the Red Sox offense. They'll look to bounce back tonight when ace Garrett Crochet takes the mound opposite Royals ace Cole Reagans. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started at 6:10 on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo will have the call of the first of the game. First pitch from Kauffman Stadium set for 7:10. The Celtics will look to climb back into their second-round series against the Knicks this afternoon when they head to Madison Square Garden for Game 3. Only one injury to report on the Celtics side. They're listing Sam Hauser as doubtful. Tip-off in Game 3 at MSG will be 3:30. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs cut the Pacers series lead in half with a 126-104 win in Indiana, and the Nuggets took a 2-1 series lead over the top-seeded Thunder with a 113-104 win. While over in the NHL, former Bruin Brad Marchand netted the OT winner for Florida as they beat the Maple Leafs 5-4 to cut the Toronto series lead to 2-1. The Jets are getting a win at home to even that series up with the Dallas Stars 1-1. Finally, Saints quarterback Derek Carr has announced his retirement after 11 NFL seasons. Carr was set to miss the entire 2025 season with a shoulder injury.
I can't come up with reasons for this. This team that was built.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
as this offensive machine that wins 75 to 80% of its games, just shit in the bed like this two games in a row. I hate to use this word because it, in the wrong context, it's a little insulting, but there's been an arrogance to the Celtics team that comes out at the worst possible times where it's like, this is who we are. We shoot threes. We don't need a timeout. We can just get Tatum going to the basket. We're just going to play Horford because this is what we do down the stretch. And I really think Pritchard should have been out.
Simmons podcast. You can also find him on The Ringer. Talking about the Boston Celtics, and he believes that the Celtics are arrogant at times.
They have an arrogance.
They have an arrogance about them. Would you tend to agree with him, Mego?
I would categorize it more so as mentally, they appear to have overlooked a lot of this series. And I don't know if that stems from coaching, the personalities of the guys who are the leaders on this team.
Why do you think they've overlooked this? Why do you feel that way?
Same reason that a lot of us in the media did the same thing. Now, I don't think I overlooked it. I said that I thought it was going to be a 5-game series. I thought the Knicks were going to put up a fight, but I did come out of that Orlando series saying Orlando might be a tougher team to beat than New York because Orlando was so physical. Mm-hmm. Their defense was so punishing, especially around the perimeter. They took away the best thing that you could do, and that the Celtics were going to be able to breathe a little easier and open their game back up against the Knicks. And I would just guess that the Celtics all in a lot of ways felt the same way going into it, saying we beat this team 4 times in the regular season and we beat them by an average of 16 points. Now, the final game that you saw against them, it did go into overtime in the regular season. So it's not like the Knicks were a total doormat the entire season. But a lot of the times it felt that way. So I think it's human nature. We overuse that, but I can understand why the mentality of the Celtics, even as they say, we got to continue the fight. Oh, every game is just this game, blah, blah, all this stuff that all athletes say. If there is a component of them that's like, we got this. We got this
team.
I don't get that sense, but I can understand why they did it.
But I don't get this sense of like hubris from this team. Like I feel it like it's more of a deep belief in what makes them successful. And unfortunately, in game one and game two, that one thing that makes them uber successful was a little cold. Like, I don't find that as an arrogance. I instead see it as a strong belief in the identity of who you are.
But I think that there's other aspects to it. Now, the shooting is the main thing. The turnovers last game, inexcusable.
Sure.
Live ball turnovers,
yeah, that one,
7 of them in one quarter that lead to 7 points straight up from the Knicks. That's inexcusable. Like, as much as we talk about, well, if the Celtics are able to hit 2 more threes, they're up 2-0 this series. Okay, well, if you don't give up 7 turnovers that lead directly to 7 points from the Knicks, then you win game two as well.
Yeah, I also look at, like, that one fast break 2-on-1 with Tatum and Brown, that kind of Tatum didn't give him the best pass and Brown kind of fumbled and was too busy looking at the hoop instead of actually looking at the ball coming into his hands. I like that one. Absolutely. Turnover that stands out to me. You can't miss that. I look at this team and I see somebody fundamentally entrenched in their identity to the point where they are. I don't find it as an arrogance or a hubris that they have. It's more so just a confidence that, okay, like, we understand that this didn't go exactly the way we thought it would go, but we can overcome this as long as we just stay the course. Like, we will come out the other side. We will be better. We will have a more fruitful production from three. It's just we can't doubt ourselves at this point. And so I don't necessarily see it as an arrogance, but more of just kind of a self-confidence.
Yeah, I think, and I can't speak for him, but from listening to the podcast from Simmons, what he was trying to say there was essentially the Celtics feel like they're always in it, at least against the Knicks, and they should because their talent is so much better. But they kind of can approach it of, well, we got this 20-point lead, and even if the Knicks start whittling it down, we're going to be able to shoot our way out of this. And you're saying, like, analytically, that approach seems fine.
Yeah.
Like, they should stick with it. I would say it's unacceptable to go to the extreme of shooting 19 of 20 of your field goals in the third quarter of game one and not vary the look a little bit.
I understand, but as Turp pointed out, we had Justin Turpin of WEEI.com with us on at about 12:30 this afternoon. He even mentioned, like, 96 of those 100 threes were open looks. Mm-hmm. They weren't even contested. That means an open look, for those of you who don't know by NBA metrics, means that somebody is not even within 4 feet of you when you take that shot. And to me, that just indicates, like, okay, you had a bad shooting. You had, like, two bad shooting nights. What are the chances that the Celtics would ever have two bad shooting nights? We've seen them have one, and then they pop off in the next game. And it's very rare that they ever have two. So in my estimation, just from a numbers perspective, there is like a next to 0% possibility that they have three straight duds shooting open shots from three. It just isn't possible. And that's why, like, I have zero doubt that the Celtics win today in New York against the Knicks and win by 10 plus. Like, oh. I have zero doubt.
Okay. I have a little doubt, okay, just because they're down 0-2 and I'm scared.
Yeah, I get that. That's fair.
On their behalf.
Totally fair.
But I also would say, if you look at who these Celtics have been, the last time that they lost three straight games was in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Heat. And I firmly believe that they would have been the first team to come back from 0-3 and win that series if Jason Tatum doesn't injure himself,
sure,
at the very start of Game 7. I know that's like hypothetical, yeah, and rewriting. That's what I believe.
But it's something you believe. Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Totally.
And
cool.
So I think a lot of this, and I wrote this for WEI.com, they're going to go as Tatum goes.
True.
And if you don't think Tatum is a great basketball player at this point, you're an idiot. And I don't want to talk to you about it.
What did Nick Wright call him this week? The Kobe Bryant of Paul George's?
The Kobe Bryant, I don't know. Nick Wright's a very talented individual, but I disagree with a lot of his opinions.
I would, yeah.
I feel with Tatum, he has proven to us before that he can be that dude.
Mm-hmm.
He did it most famously in Game 6 in 2022 when he dropped 46 points against the Bucks and he kept them alive. There were so many times during that playoff run when that team had their backs against the wall. I think this is a stronger team. Even if Kristaps Porzingis is not really able to go, Drew Holiday, I think, is a big upgrade over a lot of guys on that team. No offense, from 2022.
No, I agree.
But Tatum has to be able to activate himself, not just from the jump, because we've seen him do that at times, but put together the four quarters and lead them back to 2-2. Like, it can't even just be tonight. He's got to be great across the next two games, because there's just too much slack that others have to pick up around him, and you can't count on 30-point games from Derek White back-to-back, like, night after night. It just... He's not that kind of player. He's fabulous, but he's not that guy. Tatum is that guy. He averaged 36 points per game in the last three games against Orlando, and the dude looked like he's just picking his spots. He's picking apart the other side. He looked like he was cutting through their defense with a surgical knife, and now it looks like he's bringing some kind of, like, wiffle ball bat, and you're like, what's going on,
wiffle
dude?
Ball bat to a gunfight.
Yeah, it's like, you don't want somebody doing surgery on you with a wiffle ball bat. You can't have that from Tatum.
617-779-7937. Mego and Shime, let's go to Bob in Western Mass. Wants to talk about his anxiety over the Boston Celtics. Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and thanks for bringing it up. I wasn't really anxious till I heard Mego talk about her anxiety.
I'm sorry.
So thanks. But yeah, I have three things in no particular order. One is, I think they've developed some bad habits defensively in terms of protecting, you know, rebounding. I don't care what the stats are, but when you have a live big, you know, an athletic big, they just eat them up. And I think they're kind of trying to block shots versus playing position and boxing people out as just one bad habit. And, you know, if you ever get injured and you can't play defense, then when you finally heal, you've developed so many bad habits that are hard to break. So that's one. Secondly is Mazzulla. I think the guy that you played the clip from hit it right on the head. Basically, oh, we don't have to call the timeout. I mean, yeah, we're not like regular teams. Well, Jesus, excuse me, but if you're up 20 and you miss two threes in a row and your defense is out of whack, it's time to call the timeout. I mean, and the last possession thing is so crazy to me, not to call that timeout. That was a horrible last shot from Tatum, let's face it. And it was so easy for the guy to get in there and block it. And the third one is Porzingis. I just don't think he's been right since he got that illness. And I'm with you. I think they should have played Porzingis you know, it was better than Horford.
All right,
know?
Bob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I think, in my opinion, Mego, I'm curious your thoughts if kind of his point one and point three are kind of intertwined. Whereas on the defensive spectrum, when you see the Celtics, as Bob put it, attempting more so to almost get interference with the shots and not necessarily focusing on rebounding and boxing out as much, is a product of Porzingis not being there and Jason Tatum needing to lead your team in rebounds.
So Jason Tatum has been a strong rebounder for years now, and you just have to look at the number of games where he almost had a triple-double.
Yeah, sure.
Like his almost triple-doubles this season. This is not something that he's doing to make up for Porzingis' absence, because he was doing that even when Porzingis was active.
But it feels magnified to me, at least from my perspective. You look at last year's playoff run, you look at the games Porzingis has missed in this year's playoffs, it feels like Tatum puts more, not emphasis, but like that number tends to just inflate a lot when Porzingis isn't on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's very much under a magnifying glass right now, because in the first half of the last game, he had what, like 9 defensive rebounds, and he only had 2 points. And you go, I'd really just like Jason Tatum to be the one who's scoring points and somebody else to take care of the dirty work of defensive rebounding.
Sure.
It just doesn't work that cleanly. But I think what he was saying at the end, I think he was talking about what Simmons said, which was he would have liked to see Pritchard out there at the final stretch rather than Al Horford. I think, again, some of that is like the struggle of trying to figure out. I sometimes wonder if Mazzulla, the same way that he loves the analytics and that annoys some people, he also loves the matchups. And a lot of the hesitancy that he has of calling timeouts is not wanting to give the other team the opportunity to throw out a better matchup, guessing what they're going to do. And at some point I go, okay, the other team is going to have their matchup, but your players are better.
Yeah.
Like, your players are better.
Have a plan.
So maybe you put out a lineup that you like better for the last second scenario, and maybe that should include Peyton Pritchard rather than Al Horford, instead of being so worried about Tom Thibodeau, what he's going to do on the other side when he's a guy who everyone thought was coaching for his job in this series. Like, Tom Thibodeau is not Eric Spoelstra. He's not Popovich. I don't know why all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, wow, Mazzulla is getting pants by Tibbs out there.
Not really.
Like, people thought that Tibbs was going to lose his job because he doesn't want to play anyone on the bench. Like, you guys, this is where my anxiety comes from, because I don't know. I'm just like, wait, what are we talking about? You guys, I understand saying Jalen Brunson is Mr. Clutch and everybody's sick to death of Reggie Miller just going on about that on the broadcast. But I don't think we need to sit here and be shaking in our boots over, respectfully, Tom Thibodeau, who's somebody who I loved when he was on Doc Rivers' staff.
Yeah, I don't think we need to worry about Tibbs either. And I think, too, one of the things they were okay with Al being on the floor for was because prior to that final play, the last possession for the Celtics, Al was the one kind of setting that pick at the top of the arc for Tatum to have the clear lane into the hoop. And so they were trying to run that play again. And so ultimately, it should boil down to, as soon as that play wasn't coming to fruition in the final seconds of the game, that's when Mazzulla should have banged the timeout. That's when you could have taken Horford off the board, put in Peyton Pritchard to allow yourself to have the best shooting lineup on the floor and get somebody open for a shot to try and win that game. That's what annoyed me the most. I don't care about not calling a timeout right away when the basket gets made by Brunson on the free throw. That's fine. Inbound the ball, have Tatum take it down, see what you got. If he has a clear opportunity, cool, great. You're happy. You got the matchup you wanted. He has a chance to win you the basketball game. But as soon as he gets started, pushed left from the top of the arc and gets pushed left, and there's a crowd of guys there, Joe Mazzulla should have been screaming his lungs out for a timeout to reassess and reorganize and group up and get a good shot off there at the end of the game. And he didn't. And that, to me, was like his biggest fault from the game.
I will also say, being in that building the other night when we started seeing the lead get whittled away again, and it wasn't exactly the same way as it happened in game one, it was kind of like, how do you watch this? And you're watching a slow moving car crash. Like, how is the coach, do not pull, I'm sorry, in Ime Udoka, where he pulls him aside and says, stop playing like a-holes. Like, seriously, at some point we look at the math and we look at the lineups and the matchups and blah, 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 and you know, water's going to find its level and its dew factor and all this stuff. And at some point, like, you do have to shake these guys and be like, you're going to let this happen again? You're honestly going to let them do this again?
Mikhail
Bridges, like Tatum, you own Mikhail Bridges. You can just eliminate him from the game. And you let him, the dude was not even appearing in the first three quarters. And you let him pop off for 14 points in the fourth quarter? What are we doing here, guys? I mean, at some point, it's kind of like you just need a verbal slap across the face to be like, we're not doing this again. And maybe that has to come from Al Horford or Drew Holiday, somebody who's a super vet on the team. But there is an aspect to it where we grade all these different little things, and sometimes it's just as simple as, like, what the hell is going on out here?
617-779-7937. It's Mego and Scheim here on Boston Sports Original WEEI talking Celtics. Their tip-off for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals in New York against the Knicks will be at about 3:30 this afternoon. So we'll continue talking a little bit of Celtics before we get out of here, and Joe Weil and the Play Tessie boys take over at 3. It's Mego and Scheim on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Final segment for you here before we hand it over to Joe Weil and the Play Tessie boys leading up into Red Sox pregame at 6:10 for the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show and first pitch for the Sox 7:10 this evening right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Mega, we've talked Celtics and Red Sox basically all day, a little Jordan, a little other stuff mixed in, espresso martinis, little Donner party, but it's now time. Your official prediction for the Celtics tonight. I know you're anxiety-ridden, but do the Celtics take Game 3 in New York against the Knicks?
I think so. I do think they take this game. I think I'm more nervous than most people because I think people are still like penciling in like, oh, it's going to be fine. I just would remind everyone that only 7% of teams in NBA playoff history have moved on, have been able to advance when they're down 0-2.
I would like to ask, though, how many of those 7% were defending champions?
I believe the Cavs were one. And okay. I believe they, I don't remember. I was looking this up for a column yesterday, and I've already, the information has gone through my head and already vanished.
That's okay.
But I do know that Terp had a great tweet, Justin Turpin, who we talked to earlier, about how recently, I believe it's over like the last four postseasons, the last four playoffs, a team every year has done this, has come back from being 0-2 in a series. So recent history would suggest, probably because of the different ways of scoring now in the NBA, that it's something that happens more commonly. So then I go, okay, is it going to be you and the Cavs? Because they did their job last night.
They did.
So
finally beat the Pacers.
You know, don't just let it be the Cavs. Please, please, please just show up in a better way tonight.
Yeah,
this afternoon.
I did a crossover with Ken and Curtis before our show today, and like I feel very confident in that. I expect what Donovan Mitchell did last night, dropping 43 points for the Cavs and their win against the Pacers, is exactly what you'll see from Jason Tatum today.
I would be very happy with like a 32-point game.
Yeah.
If he's just slightly above his 26, 27-point average, I think they would be in a really, really great place. And even if it's something where Tatum, maybe mix in a little Brown, whatever, Derek, I don't know. If you can take the load off of the bigs, I think that's going to help you a lot if there's a long term that you're looking at, because Kristaps Porzingis needs to get right. I don't know what that's going to take. Who knows what he's dealing with. But Al Horford, we also take for granted that he's in his very late 30s, and you're grinding out a lot of minutes of him right now. And he doesn't look labored or fatigued, but if you do get past the Knicks, and this is casting way into the future, and you are able to go on a long run through these playoffs, you don't want to burn out Al Horford right now. Because I love Luke Kornet, but Al Horford is really your second look at the
murder Kornet.
Yes.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Al Horford needs to be, and they did a really good job of kind of maintaining his play level throughout the course of the year and not overworking him. He is not a spring chicken, as they would say anymore, and he needs a little bit more rest and time on the bench. I know you love talking about your book, so Ned wants the name of the book you would recommend. Go ahead, Ned. Ned!
Hi, I'm looking for the name of the Civil War historical nonfiction book you mentioned.
Yes, thank you for asking. It's The Demon of Unrest, and it's about leading up to
the Demon of Unrest.
Yes, it's by Eric Larson.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Mego and Shime here giving every book recommendation we can. I had someone DM me about the book that Max had called about that I had given out. So.
Somebody on the text line was recommending a Teddy Roosevelt biography to me.
Yes, I saw that.
Which I actually had started, and I came home one day and my dog had chewed apart.
Literally ate your homework.
Yeah, I was like, that's the end of that. That's the one thing that my dog destroys. It's very weird. Like, if you leave out books, I think because it smells like our hands, she'll eat the book.
Really?
But she doesn't.
Yeah, a lot of dogs do that. Like, even with like TV remotes,
yeah,
that's one of the reasons.
She doesn't eat anything else. She doesn't
just
go after
books?
Shoes or anything like that. Just books.
Don't take her to a library.
I know. She's either that or she has a real problem with women being literate, you know? Yeah.
That seems mean. Shout out to Henry. Henry doesn't eat anything. Like, he only eats food. That's
okay.
It. Like, if he would eat trash, but like leftover food that you're throwing in the trash, that he would probably eat because he's basically a raccoon.
Okay.
But he doesn't eat books. He doesn't eat remotes. He doesn't eat shoes or socks or anything like that. It's great. He's the
best. I do think my dog might have eaten an AirPod once. I was never able to prove it, but it went missing, and
Wouldn't the case come out the other end?
I'm sorry, I didn't investigate deeply.
But you pick up after your dog, don't you? Wouldn't you notice it?
I wasn't sifting through what came out.
But an AirPod's like a pretty big size.
It was like a knockoff AirPod.
Okay.
It was a little bit smaller.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense. But
yeah, and I wondered if maybe she ate it, but could never play the music through her stomach, so I'm not sure.
That'd be hilarious.
She's walking around and she's playing Big X the Plug
or
out
of DMX.
Her stomach.
Or everybody's like, she's like, where's that barking coming from?
What you really want?
Well, that'll do it for Mego and Shime here. Yeah, you know, great way to end here. Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original WEEI. I want to thank Justin Turpin for joining us in the 12 o'clock hour and Sean McAdam of Mass Live for joining us in the 1 o'clock hour to talk Celtics and Red Sox, respectively. Mego, great job by you today.
Hey,
good
you
4-hour
too.
Marathon. It was a lot of fun. I want to thank Zach and Mitch for producing as well. It's Joe Weil and the Play Tessie Boys coming up next, taking you right up until Red Sox pregame, the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:10, and First Pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network at 7:10. It's a great Garrett Crochet day.
Woo!
Go Sox and go Seas. Celtics tip off in about 30 minutes. So go Celtics. Mego, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you. Mego will be here next Saturday. I will not, but we will talk to you. I'll be back on the Greg Hill Show on Monday. We'll see you later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.